Tonight we want to take a look at our last in the series for the weekend, Elijah's Gone Home. Kind of a strange title, but let's get into our message tonight. Once again, would you pray with me as we open God's Word? Father, this has been a long, long weekend. These dear people have sat for many hours for a number of extended programs and services this weekend. A number have already retired and gone home because of the distances that they are from our place here, but would have loved to have stayed. And we just pray a special Sabbath day's blessing on those who are even now driving back to their homes. Give them, Father, a safe journey home. And may they recall the things that they've learned, the things that they've shared, and even the fun times that we've had talking one with another, of meeting old friends. And Father, we just thank you for this special convocation, this weekend that we have been able to spend this spiritual high together with saints who believe in the same God. And to those who remain tonight, to the remnant, I just ask another special blessing upon them. Father, fill the one who's to speak to them with your message, that it might touch their unique hearts who still wait before you at the close of this Sabbath. I pray that once again you will continue to bless, that we might return again, if not here, to our individual churches to share what we've learned this week. And Father, may we never be the same. And may those we come in contact with never be the same. For may they behold in us a little glimpse of Jesus. This I pray in His name. Amen. Do you feel like it's time for us as Seventh-day Adventists to turn our hearts home? Are you tired of dwelling in this old world, and do you want to say goodbye to it and hello to God's new kingdom? So do I. I'd like to suggest this evening, as we consider our message, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. By that I mean that God's kingdom is even available to you and to me tonight. That through the writing of the Apostle Paul, according to his promise, that tonight, by faith, we sit in heavenly mansions with Christ. His kingdom tonight can be part of our kingdom through promise. And we also have the promise and the assurance because Elijah has gone home. Because Elijah is there tonight and lives, so he is the evidence that one day you and I too, through the power of God, might live in His coming kingdom. But today we're still here because of the work that God wants us to do. And so He says, my kingdom is at hand. It's here. It's now. You can have the promise. The reality of that promise is yet to come. But we still have the promise today. We can hold on to that promise. And I believe, dear brothers and sisters, that promise will see us through the work that God has called us to do. Now, what is the work? Let's see if we can tie together this weekend. Turning our hearts toward home, there's a work to do. Friday night, we talked about the sign of Jesus coming. That sign, we discovered, was to have His character reflected in us. It dealt with the Sabbath. It dealt with the sealing. It dealt with the law of God and the revelation of Christ in His people. I'm suggesting tonight that Elijah was a type of Christ. That Elijah the prophet also was setting an example for you and me today. What I'm saying is that just like there is a final sign for the world. So it was that Elijah reflected the Lord Jesus Christ before all of Israel and before the heathen nations round about, so that he would fulfill the sign before his translation. In other words, he couldn't go home until he had at least represented the character of Christ fully. Do you see that? Secondly, we talked this morning at the 11 o'clock hour of worshiping the Lamb. We talked about a great time of test that was coming according to Revelation 13. We talked of a beast power. We talked also of a little lamb-like beast coming up out of the earth. We talked that there was one day going to be a decree that man must worship. And so it was again. We find in tonight's story, Elijah the prophet, the forerunner, the type of Christ, the one who stands in our story tonight as we stand tonight. We stand tonight at a crossroads in Adventism, if you please. We stand as God's representatives before a church that is being shaken. We have a message to call God's people back to true worship. We have a message to call God's people not only in the church, but outside the church to true worship. For it was one of the angels of Revelation 14. An angel that John says he saw flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel, the witness, if you please, the character, the testimony. And the message then that he gives to the world is that the hour of God's judgment has come. Therefore, worship God. Which God? The one that made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. And so it is that we, like Elijah, must fulfill the second mission. And that is, we must not only as a church understand what it means to worship God, we must also reveal that worship to the world that they might worship the true God in spirit and in truth. So it was that Elijah fulfilled that also on the Mount, Mount Carmel. He taught the people that they needed to come back and have a true form of worship, which we will discuss here a little later this evening. And then thirdly, this afternoon we talked about repairing the breach. For God would not only have us come together and learn to pray, but there was a reason for our praying. That we pray not to change God, but prayer changes us. Have you ever noticed that? It's hard to pray for enemies for very long, because enemies cease to be enemies if you really pray. Have you noticed that? So Jesus said, pray for your enemies. Why? Because he knew that if you truly prayed for them from your heart, that it would change you and your attitude toward them. And perhaps you would even cease to have enemies. And so we find here a prayer, a coming together in prayer, worshiping the Lamb, that we might be changed as people. As we behold Jesus, we become transformed into His likeness, so that we then can become repairers of the breach, so that we can reach out and restore not only the church, but the world for Jesus Christ. That's what Elijah did again upon top of the mount. On the mountaintop, he restored the worship for Israel, and he repaired the breach between man and his God. Those steps I'm suggesting tonight, folks, had to be taken by Elijah, who was the forerunner of Christ. He was the type, and when Jesus came, he did exactly the same thing. For Jesus reflected perfectly the image of His Father, so much so that He said, He that hath seen Me hath seen the Father. Jesus also worshipped God and not Satan. In fact, in those times of test when He was in the desert, you remember that Jesus even said to Lucifer, who came to Him and said, "Just bow down to Me and worship." You see, even Satan realized that worship involves bowing toward the One to whom you're giving adoration and praise. Interesting little thought, isn't it? That had Satan come with a different form and a different type of worship to Jesus Christ, he would have known immediately this isn't the kind of worship we do in heaven. So Satan comes and says, "Bow. Pay homage to Me. I will give you the world." And Jesus said, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Get thee behind Me, Satan." So Jesus was the antitype. Exactly like that of Elijah, Jesus did the same thing. Jesus reflected the image of His Father. He also worshipped God and not Satan. He didn't worship this world nor the things in this world. And Jesus also came that He might repair the breach. What breach? The breach that sin had caused, that separation that caused a gulf between heaven and earth. Jesus was the One who extended His hand on Calvary's cross from His Father's hand to yours and mine. Jesus became our substitute on Calvary's cross. Jesus was the One who repaired the breach. And I say amen and thank God for that. You see, Elijah did it first. Elijah reflected the image of God first. Elijah worshipped God and not Satan first. Elijah repaired the breach between man and his God first. Why do I say that? So that when Jesus came, Jesus might get courage from Elijah. Isn't it nice that Jesus sent a forerunner? That He called a man and He made him His prophet on this earth who would fulfill the same steps that Jesus Himself would one day fill? And when Jesus came to His point in ministry where He went up to the mountaintop with three of His beloved, Peter, James, and John, Jesus was transfigured on the mountain. And who stood with Him there? Elijah and Moses. You see, Jesus gathered strength as a human who was divine. But He gathered strength because He knew that Elijah has gone home. Jesus, who stood in human form on this earth, standing on that mountaintop, gained strength in His heart, knowing that Elijah has gone home. There's hope for me. I will go beyond Calvary's cross. Jesus understands what it's like to have a longing in his heart to go home to his Father. Jesus knows what it's like to pray in a garden three times and not have his prayer answered according to the human desire. Have you? Yes. Jesus has tasted of the bitter cup for you and me. He drank that cup for you and me, that we wouldn't have to pay the final penalty of eternal damnation and death. But Jesus, I'm saying, gathered hope and encouragement as that cup held tremblingly in His hand. As He held that cup, He gathered hope because He knew that Elijah had gone home. He had to go home to see Elijah and Moses. He had to go home. Dearly beloved, why do you desire to go home tonight? You see, Moses represents those who have died, but have been resurrected through the power of God. That's why when Moses was transfigured on top of the mountain with Jesus, Jesus had courage because He knew that even though He drank the cup which was ahead of Him, and even though He knew that He must die, He knew that there was power over the grave because Moses had gone home. Why do you want to go home? Is it because you've lost a father? Because you've lost a mother? Because you've lost a husband or a wife. Because you've lost a son or a daughter. Then Jesus says to you tonight, press on. We're almost home. And remember, Moses is alive. He too was once dead. But he gave me hope, Jesus says tonight to you. Jesus knows what it's like to lose a friend. But Jesus knows what it's like to see him who has died alive again. And so there's hope beyond the grave, dearly beloved. You want to go home? Yes, because one day soon you're going to see your loved one again. How do I know? Because Moses died, but is there tonight. No wonder Jesus gathered courage from that experience on top of the mountain that day. No wonder he came out of that experience, I picture, with his face aglow. Because he had been on a mountaintop with his God. He had been on a mountaintop with two men that he loved. You see, both Elijah and Jesus Christ reflected the image. Both Elijah and Jesus Christ worshiped God and not Satan. Both Elijah and Jesus Christ repaired the breach. And that's why Jesus has gone home too. Aren't you glad tonight that Moses has gone home and Jesus has gone home and Elijah has gone home? Because, dearly beloved, that gives you and me courage that one day soon we too are going home. But until then, God says, I have a work for you to do. It's the same work that I did. It's the same work Elijah did. It's the same work that Moses did. Now listen to me, people. There's courage. There's hope in what I'm saying. There's hope to me and there's encouragement to me. I'm just sharing it with you. Because Jesus is saying, you press on toward that hope. For we have that hope in our hearts. And if you die, you die with your face toward the crown. Because you fall in worship toward Jesus Christ. He's our leader. If you die, you have hope because Moses died too. And Jesus died too. So we have our hope in Jesus Christ who today lives in heaven. If you and I should not be alive when Jesus comes, that's all right. It's all right. Because we will not lose our reward if we keep our eyes on Him from this day forth. Death cannot destroy, for Jesus has the keys of hell and of death. And Jesus says one day He will call those who sleep in the dust of the earth. Which to Jesus simply implies, dearly beloved, weep not as those who have no hope. For death is really not death, it's but a sleep. Except for those who refuse to accept me as their Savior, then their death will be eternal separation. But dearly beloved, not for us. Not for us, for we have this hope. For Elijah's gone home. Tonight, what is God's call to you and me? What is He asking of us? He's asking, first of all, for us to reflect His image. He's waiting for a sign to be seen in His church that we love one another. He's waiting for His church to come and worship the Lamb and not worship one another, not worship programs, not worship a church, not worship stained glass windows, not worship pipe organs, not worship pianos, not worship pews that have brass plaques upon them. We don't worship things on this earth. We're not in love with that which man has created, but rather the one who has created man. God is saying, I want you to learn to put your trust in me and not in the flesh of man. I don't even want you to trust yourself. I want you to trust me. I want you to learn to bow before me on a daily basis, to put your confidence in me, your trust in me, your faith in me, your hope in me. I want you to put everything in me. Why? So that I can make you my witness to repair the breach in the world. And then when we go forth to prepare that breach, when we go forth in a united group as an army with banners, when we go forth, mighty things will happen in this earth. Do you know what will happen shortly thereafter? Beyond all of the plagues, beyond all of the time of Jacob's trouble, which Adventists love to talk about trouble for some reason. Don't we have enough of our own? Let's talk about the good signs tonight. When it's all done, dear beloved, and God has sealed you and set you apart and He's pulled you forth and He's drawn you out into the world, then once we have finished the work, then we go home. Doesn't that thrill your heart? So you see, folks, I believe again, as I've said already this weekend, we are on the borders of the promised land. All of the signs seem to point, even tonight as we speak, that we are on the very verge of the four angels releasing the winds of strife. We are on the very verge of being settled into the truth, either intellectually for God or intellectually for damnation. We're on the very verge tonight of the sealing angel passing over our home and seeing whether we have the mark in our forehead or whether we have it not. Folks, I believe that today we're on the very threshold of the close of probation. We're told in the book, Selected Messages, book 1, page 48, that the very last deception for Seventh-day Adventists would be the undermining of the spirit of prophecy, making it of none effect in our lives. She went on to say that there would be a hatred kindled against the testimonies, which is satanic. For God's people, she goes on to say, when they lose confidence in that, when we lose confidence in her writings, we ultimately drift, she says, from Bible truth. And Satan knows that if we study the Word of God and we read the Spirit of prophecy and heed what is there, Satan knows that if we do that, we will be prepared to resist his attacks. And so it is that we're fighting now down to the end. Satan against the church, but the church, dear friend, will triumph over Satan. For this is God's church and it will prevail and the gates of hell will not come against it. God will take His Elijah home. Why? How do I know? Because He took Moses home. And because He took Elijah home, and because He took Jesus home, and they all fulfill the same requirements, He will take us home when we too fulfill the same requirements. And I'm saying tonight, folks, and it thrills my heart, we are almost there. Why? Because the requirements, I believe, tonight are being fulfilled to the letter. I believe that the Holy Spirit of God is being poured out in measure upon men and women all around this world within this church. I believe that God is settling men and women even now as we speak tonight so that they will not be moved in the days ahead. I believe that we're coming to a crisis within the Adventist church when we will soon have a division over worshiping the Lamb or worshiping the Lamb-like beast with the mask on His face. I believe that there is a need today to repair a breach that is coming wider, becoming wider and wider within Adventism. Folks, we've just talked about three of the major events that must transpire before Elijah goes home. Do you understand what I'm saying tonight? We stand on the threshold of eternity. And what are we doing with our lives? Thank God you're here. Thank God you've chosen to be here instead of staying home tonight and watching television and laughing at America's funniest home videos. Folks, this is not a time to be laughing. This is not a time to be dancing with joy in one sense. It's a time for us to humble our hearts before the Lord Jesus Christ and make sure in this great day of investigative judgment that our hearts are right before God, that our marriages are coming together before God, that our children are being reclaimed before God, because today Elijah's message is to unite the families together. Today Elijah's message is to come together that we might reflect as a family the image of God before the world. The call is that the blacks and the whites, the Hispanics, that the Catholics, that the Mormons, that the Lutheran, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Charismatics, that we come together under God's banner, and that we leave off the trappings of Babylon, and that we come and humbly put ourselves before Jesus. God is calling for a people tonight to learn how to worship Him and the true Lamb. And I believe, dearly beloved, that we are on our way home. It's close. So close that we can almost hear Him knocking at our door tonight. Won't you let me in? One day soon, dear friend, our church will be knocked on for the last time. And Jesus will then withdraw His Holy Spirit. And He will make that declaration, "He that is just, let him be just still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still." And that declaration will pass unnoticed by you and me. God is calling for a people tonight to learn how to worship Him and the true Lamb. And I believe, dearly beloved, that we are on our way home. It's close. So close that we can almost hear Him knocking at our door tonight. Won't you let me in? One day soon, dear friend, our church will be knocked on for the last time. And Jesus will then withdraw His Holy Spirit. And He will make that declaration, "He that is just, let him be just still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still." And that declaration will pass unnoticed by you and me. We will not know that the great prophetic time clock of God has stopped. Life will continue as usual, but there will be something within the lives of men and women on this earth that will be different. For they will be sealed, settled into the truth, and they cannot be moved. And then the four angels withdraw, and the final test will come to this mighty world. It was in the hour of the evening sacrifice when we find Elijah on top of a hill called Mount Carmel. He was there after a long extended famine, just like you and I have been through. A famine for thirsting for the Word of God. A famine where it seems as though God's Word is no longer being proclaimed or preached or lived or accepted. The power of God seems to be vacant. Where is the voice of God to His people today? Have you felt like I felt? Have you sensed that God hasn't been moving in mighty ways like He would like to? Have you sensed that there's been a famine in the land? There's been no dew and no rain. I have. Elijah now calls the people of Israel to account. And he calls them onto the mountain after a long period of no dew and no rain. The people have come together. King Ahab is there. 450 prophets of Baal are there. All the way down the mountainside and even down at the base of the mountain are scattered multitudes of people, even looking up to the mountain. All of Israel have come together. 10 tribes have come together to behold this event. 10 tribes of apostasy. But there were 12. Judah and Benjamin. There were 12. And it's interesting as I find Elijah when he erects the altar. He chooses 12 stones to represent the 12 tribes of Israel. Not just the 10 that went north, but also Judah and Benjamin. In other words, Elijah was repairing what? the breach between the church that had been separated and torn apart, Elijah walked very quietly and picked up 12 stones on top of the mountain. And he erected an altar to Jehovah God. And in so putting 12 stones, he told the 10 tribes, "You're not complete tonight. For there's some family members that are missing because we've separated ourselves from them." But God has 12 tribes. He has 144,000 representing all tribes of this earth, dearly beloved, tonight. That represents you and me. What had happened just before this event? You remember that King Ahab had his priests, his prophets of Baal, and all day long they had danced before their god, Baal. They had cut themselves. They had shouted until they were hoarse. They had carried on and on until finally they could no longer praise their God. When the shouting had finally ceased and no fire fell, no token fell of the promise of God upon the people, then it was that Elijah put the 12 stones together. Then it was that quietly he dug a trench about that little altar. And then he commanded that the people bring water, 4 barrels of water. 3 times they brought the barrels of water and poured it upon the bullock, upon the wood, upon the stones, until it filled the trench round about. The others watched with bated breath. 450 prophets watched, knowing that in their hearts that their doom had come. Their God had not answered. They sensed the terror that they were soon to be separate and cut off from God's people. Elijah stood before the people and asked them, "Who is on the Lord's side? If God be God, then serve Him. If Baal, then serve Him." And the people answered Him not a word. They only stood and watched. They waited for God to demonstrate His power. And so it was that Elijah knelt before the altar, the symbol of Jesus, recognizing that as he knelt before the altar, which was a symbol of the sacrifice of Jesus, which was to come, that he was giving all the glory and all the honor and all the praise to someone outside himself. And there in a quiet voice, stern and firm, not echoing and re-echoing across the mountain as those who worshiped Baal a few minutes before had done. Here in a quiet, stern voice, he now lifts his eyes heavenward and asks that God demonstrate that He is the only God that is worthy of worship. Show your people that you still love them, that you will accept them, and that there is a God still in Israel today that is in control of the rain, of the dew, and of all of nature. And then it was that the flash of light came. No sooner, Ellen says, did Elijah pray than he was answered by fire from heaven. And the fire came down in such a tremendous blaze that the people could not behold it. And they fell back from the blaze. Even those down in the valley saw the fire come and trembled for fear that they might even be consumed by it. It was the same type of fire that came down on that altar that night, that evening, that came when the Egyptian army was attacking from behind and Israel stood at the Red Sea. It was that same beautiful fire that left and went and dropped between Egypt and Israel. And so now on top of the mountain, the fire falls again and separates Egypt, Babylon, Baal from God's chosen people. I believe, dear friend, we're coming to a time when God once again will allow the fire to fall on this church. His Holy Spirit will be poured out without measure upon this church, and those who receive that Spirit will go forth as a mighty army to conquer and not to be conquered. Even all the hosts of hell will tremble before them as they see them going forth with their faces lighted up with the glory as Moses did when he came down off of the mountain. What an awesome day is just ahead of this church when she will triumph gloriously. But when that fire falls, it will be too late for some within the church who have been playing games with God. When that fire falls within this church, there will be a separation, and those who have been worshiping Baal, those who have been playing games with God, those who have been manipulating God or manipulating one another, will then be cut off from God and will no longer be considered part of His church. For we're told that everything that can be shaken will be shaken out, and nothing will be left except those men and women who have put their trust in God and Him alone. And so when the fire soon falls upon us too, it will happen just before we go forth to do the last event that will transpire before we go home. I can hardly wait. I can hardly wait. After that tremendous experience, you remember what happened? Elijah told Ahab that there was going to be rain. The 450 prophets of Baal had been cut off. They had been destroyed now. God had a church that had now prostrated itself before Him and recognized that He alone was God. They now were converted. They were changed. They were ready to go forth. And Elijah said, there's going to be rain. So he sent Ahab. Ahab wouldn't go. How do you know there's going to be rain? Trust me, there's going to be rain. Folks, if Elijah just said that the fire will fall because God is God and the fire fell, who in the world would doubt him if a moment later he says there's going to be rain? Listen, if the fire fell, dear friend, don't doubt somebody that has just brought the fire through a simple prayer that God brought it, I should say. God brought it in answer to his prayer. Don't doubt a prophet of God. One of these days when the fire falls and God's men and women go forth, King Ahab won't be doubting. They're going to see and they're going to make a decision either for or against God. Folks, the last movements are going to be what? Rapid movements. Once God has His people, thousands will flock in one moment and thousands will flock out. You remember the statement? Oh, I'm looking forward to that day. But then we find that Elijah went up to pray on the mountain. And there he put his head between his knees and his hands, and he prayed that God would send the rain. And he sent a servant down to the lake down below. And he said, watch and see if there's a cloud coming up off the water. The servant came back and said, no, there is no cloud. He said, go again. And he prayed again and again and again. He prayed six times. There was still no cloud to be seen. Can you imagine the servant coming back to Elijah? Even the servant now is probably wondering, Elijah, what happened? Elijah, you were so good a few moments ago. What happened? Dearly beloved, there's a lesson in that for us. Very, very rarely does a man of God ever have a mountaintop experience, except he has an experience in the valley shortly thereafter. You've experienced it. I've experienced it. When we walk with God and feel so thrilled that we're in the presence of God, that this is where we always want to be, then suddenly it seems as though it's gone. And we have to pray and pray and pray and pray again before we find that reconfirmation with God. Have you experienced that? Aren't you glad that Elijah didn't give up? You see, he set an example for us because even after the fire falls, even after the separation comes, even after the sealing comes, even after we now are to go forth with the promise that the rain will come, that God will finish the work, there's going to be disappointment. Are you hearing me? There's going to be disappointment even though our faces are lighted up, even though we've seen the confirmation, there's going to be disappointment. You and I are going to be attacked by Satan. All the host of hell will attack us. And we must remain praying Christians. Praying Christians. Knowing in what we have believed. For we have nothing to fear for the future except as we shall forget what? The way the Lord has led us in our past and His teaching. Elijah could not forget that the fire has just fallen. He knew the past, even though it was a short past. He said, I know that my God who caused the fire to fall will in His time finish the work. And so he remained in a prayerful attitude. I'm suggesting that we too need to learn to watch and pray on a moment-by-moment basis. And even though we have mountaintop experiences, which some of us have had this week, when you go back to your home, I'm going to suggest that it may take 6 hours on your knees before you are going to be filled with the rain that falls upon you like it has this weekend. I'm pleading to you tonight not to give up. When you go back and tomorrow morning you feel like you need to get out of bed and start your relationship with Jesus, because some of you have covenanted with God again. Some of you have said, when I go back home, I'm going to start getting serious with God. The old television is not going to have the attention and the affection and the warmth that it used to have. Some of you have made a decision, I'm going to put Jesus first. I'm suggesting that when you get back home, you're going to find that the fire fell here. And when you get back home, you're going to say, Lord, where's that experience? And you're going to open the Word of God and you're going to start reading the Word of God, and you're going to find that it doesn't have the same experience to me that I got last weekend. I'm encouraging you, dear friend, to pray and study. And don't give up until the rain falls. If you will persevere, you will receive. But I'm telling you tonight that you will go home and you will find a barren experience when you get there. How do I know that? Because when Jesus came down off of the mountain with His face aglow, when He came down and had the thrill of knowing that Elijah had gone home, He came to the base of the mountain and found His disciples discouraged. And they had lost His spirit. They couldn't cast out demons. They were fighting among themselves. And He couldn't believe where He had just been and now what He was beholding. Some of you have seen the glory of God this weekend through His Word. When you get home, you'll see fighting disciples in the pew this next Sabbath in your churches. The center aisle is still in your church. Unless, of course, you've been blessed with a small church and wasn't big enough to put one in. I'm saying, folks, you'll need to stay on your knees before God and say, Lord, I will not give up until the rain falls. And then when it does, I will not give up, but I will advance before You, before the chariot. And when that rain began to fall, that's what Elijah did, and he ran. He was an old man, but he ran. The rain fell, and Elijah ran before the chariot. Dearly beloved, when the rain falls on this church, and it's soon to fall, I want to have an experience so close with the Lord Jesus Christ that I will be running in front of the chariots. Dearly beloved, if we can't keep up with the footmen today, how will we ever keep up with the horses? We must spend time with God. Elijah prayed 6 times and he told his servant, go back again and pray. Go back and look as I pray. The 7th time, that perfect full number, when the time is right, then Jesus will come. There is a point beyond which the judgments of Jehovah will no longer be delayed. Prophets and Kings tells me that. There is a fixed hour. There is a fixed time. There is a fixed number even, we're told in the spirit of prophecy. And when that number is made up, when that time comes, when the character of Christ is perfectly reproduced,
Then will go forth the decree. And then the rain will come. And I pray that you and I will be in a posture of prayer, praying without ceasing. And when the time comes, God's perfect time, the seventh, the complete, then we will begin to run. Dearly beloved, I pray that as we run and run the race that is set before us yet, that we will not weary. And if some of us drop, may we drop toward Calvary. May our faces be toward the Lamb of God. May our faith be in Jesus Christ. May our hope be in Him who alone can save us. I pray that as we leave this place this night, that you and I might have faith to believe that you and I will see God one day soon. And to those of us who may yet be alive when that day comes, I pray that we will be able to look up and say as a family, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him and He will take us home." Why? Well, why shouldn't He? Elijah's gone home. And when we've done what Elijah has done, there's no reason for us to stay. So I pray that you and I will catch the holy vision, that we'll do the work that lies nearest at hand and work in our sphere as God works in His sphere. May God help us to have faith in God. May God help us to have faith that He will see us through, come what may. Don't ever turn back, dearly beloved, because, as I've said before, we've come too far to go back to the other side. Let us pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we're coming home. Tonight we see through the portals the glory of God. And we just want you to know tonight we've made a covenant with you in our hearts that we're coming home. We've made a decision, Lord, that we're coming home. We've turned our hearts toward home this weekend. We realize that home is not on this earth in its present form, but our home is in heaven. It's been built by our Maker and God. Father, tonight we thank You for giving us courage and faith and hope because Elijah's gone home. And because he lives tonight, we too, some of us perhaps sitting here, will be translated to see the Lord Jesus Christ come. We will be caught up as Elijah was, because we've finished the task. We've completed the job. And we too can go home. Father, I believe that there are those here among us tonight that will soon cease the battle and will be laid to rest. And He who speaks might also be laid to rest before that hour. But Father, in Your own will and Your own timing, allow those things to happen according to Your will. And if we should rest, may we rest in the sure and certain hope that we will either be translated or we will be resurrected as Moses was. So, Father, whether we live or die, take away that fear. Take away the fear and give us love. Give us joy in our heart to know that we are going home. Father, I thank You for being with us this weekend. I thank You for every home that has been here and that has come here. And tonight I just feel impressed in my heart I need to extend this just a moment longer. Just as the remnant are here tonight, those who dared to stay by, who wanted to hear the last message before they went home.
Father, I'm wondering tonight if perhaps this little group with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, would just like to recovenant their commitment this weekend that they've made personally with You. If they've made a commitment with You saying that they want to go home and that they've dedicated their life to You from this day on, that they want to go home, they are determined to go home, and by Your grace, they will go home. Father, I'd just like to have them stand with me before all of heaven tonight. Wherever they are, press them to stand. I hear them, Father, but I don't see them tonight. You do? I thank You tonight for Your Holy Spirit that has touched the hearts of these men and women. And Father, I pray tonight that all the hosts of hell will witness what's happened in this room. Because tonight, Father, I want the hosts of hell to tremble before this mighty army. And I want this army, Father, to know that with You they are a majority. That with You they have already won the battle against Satan. With You and through Jesus Christ, they already sit victorious in the throne of Your Son. Father, I pray that we might receive of Your sweet Spirit, that the fire might soon fall and burn within our hearts everything that is evil, everything that would separate us from You, everything that we've held on to as the old nature desires to hang on. I pray that that holy fire might purge and cleanse and purify so that this group who stand tonight arm in arm, side by side, might go back to their homes as men and women who have been on a mountaintop experience. Men and women who even now are experiencing that cleansing fire that is taking root in their life to purge, to cleanse, to transform. And as they go back to their home churches, Father, please, please don't ever let them forget that they have met with God. And may they fall on their knees every day. May they spend time with You every day. And may they be filled one day soon beyond measure because they persevered. Father, give us that kind of grit to persevere, to hold on no matter what may happen. Make this people of Nebraska and Kansas Your people for this hour. And Father, may this conference never be the same again, because we know that Elijah has gone home, and we too are soon to follow as soon as the work is done. Thank You for beginning that work this week in our hearts. And don't let it stop until it's finished. And Father, we all say, may it be finished soon. For we pray this in Jesus' name. And the people said, amen. God love you. Have a pleasant evening and a safe trip home. And one day soon, if I don't see you again here, may we see each other there very, very soon. What do you say?
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.